Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. The Danites were a Mormon vigilante group that tried to fight back against the mobs in Missouri. Were they good guys or bad guys? Well, it turns out that Thomas B. Marsh and W.W. Phelps both testified against the Danites, marking them both as apostates, and they were both excommunicated. While Thomas B. Marsh never came back, W.W. Phelps did, and we're going to talk more about that with Bruce Van Orden, the author of We'll Sing and We'll Shout, The Life and Times of W.W. Phelps. We'll also talk about that famous story about the milk and stripping story. Was that the real reason Thomas B. Marsh left the church? Check out our conversation. I do want to spend a little bit of time. I know John Hamer's written a wonderful post on the milk and stripping story, which it seems like Thomas Marsh gets a lot of bad rap for that whole episode, and we kind of gloss over the problems in Missouri. And what were some of these other issues that Thomas Marsh had?
I've already said that Phelps was egocentric and sought to excel, and it got him in trouble from time to time. I'm not exonerating him from his eccentricities. But I would say that Marsh was motivated by his ego and his desire to excel even more than Phelps was, and he didn't have nearly the talent. He did get trained in the printing press business, and he wanted to take over the church's periodical that had been started after the Cowdrys had been cut off, Oliver and Warren Cowdery, and they had run the Messenger and Advocate. And so the Messenger and Advocate died, and so they created a new newspaper called the Elder's Journal. But then that stopped in Kirtland when the Saints had to leave Kirtland, but it was reinstated in far west Missouri in the late summer of 1838, the Elder's Journal, and it had two issues come out. And Marsh wrote some lengthy articles in it, building himself up as a great man and great leader and helping save the church from apostasy of other people, including Phelps and all the Whitmers, but also these earlier guys in Kirtland as well. So he wanted to kind of take over the printing operation because he knew it had given Phelps power and influence. Well, he started to do that. But Joseph preferred to have the editor be his younger brother, Don Carlos Smith, and that probably bothered Marsh to a certain extent. Marsh ended up seeing what the Danites were up to, and it bothered him, and he talked to Joseph Smith about it, and Joseph didn't really know about all of the activities of the Danites because it was secret, and kind of sloughed it off. And then he saw even more in Davies County, and I guess he was losing influence anyway. We don't know all the reasons. And he had been offended by this milk stripping issue, although I think that's a minor event rather than the main event.
Right.
But as a minor event, it had offended him and his family. And so he decided in mid-October 1838, I'm against Joseph Smith now. And then he wrote that affidavit giving great detail to what the Danites had done, and attributing it to Joseph Smith and Hiram Smith.
So you're saying Joseph wasn't aware of the Danite issues?
Well, that's a historical question about how much he knew. The official version that has come down in sanitized church history is that Joseph Smith really didn't know about it. It was a secret organization, and they did all these bad things. Well, he sanctioned some of their activities. There's just no denying it. In Davies County, he was there when they were doing it, and he didn't stop. But how much he knew about the blood oaths and all that remains to be seen. But it was Samson Avard, one of the leaders of the Danites, who went state's evidence on the side of the Missourian charges against Joseph Smith, Sidney Rigdon, Hiram Smith, and George Robinson and McCray and all those guys who were arrested. And the biggest testifier against the church leadership was Samson Avard, the really dirty guy in the Danites. He when states evidence. But they, but the court officials had the Missouri militia on the, to protect them and to protect the, all these court proceedings. And with bayonets, they came and insisted that John Whitmer and W.W. Phelps also testify, forced to testify. And Phelps gave an honest appraisal of what he had seen, including some of the Danite mischief. And it was he was one of about 12 different people who testified. In Mormon lore, it's come down that Phelps was guilty more than anybody else of the saints' problems being driven out of Missouri and Joseph Smith being incarcerated. He's been blamed in some of the literature by himself. The Latter-day Saints, I've already pointed out, had some of their own mistakes, but it was the affidavit of Marsh that caused the evidence to come forward. And by the way, Phelps has been accused of writing that affidavit, but he didn't. He had nothing to do with it. He was part of the Peace Commission, remember I said. Mm-hmm. But he did testify, and the testimony was part of the building blocks of why Austin King, the judge, bound over Joseph Smith, Sidney Rigdon, Hiram Smith, and others to trial, which led to Liberty Jail and those bad times. And so it's just kind of come down in history that Phelps was to blame, whereas he had just a minor part in any blame. And what and I've studied carefully, word by word, his testimony in that court of inquiry, and I and some other historians have been able to show that what he said was true and is corroborated by other evidence about some of the wrong things that Danites were up to.
Okay. So Joseph went to jail in Kirtland. This is the end of 38 or 39. Or excuse me, Liberty Jail.
They first took him to Independence, and he was there for a week in jail. And then they took him to a more neutral location. And it's improper to even call it the Liberty Jail. It's the Clay County Jail, but it was in Liberty. And it was being delayed and delayed, and then he was going to, and then new charges were brought up against him, and there was to be a change of venue, and the charges were from events from the war, treason, they called it, in Davies County. But then they figured they had to have a change of venue to make it to make it okay, so they're going to go to Boone County and hold the trial there, and they were on their way over to Boone County when the sheriff of Clay County said that there's not enough evidence against you. I won't pay attention, and you can go.
Yeah, I'll drink some grog, as I remember Dr. Boss said.
And so the escape took place with permission of the
sheriff.
Sheriff, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then Joseph makes his way to Commerce, which became Nauvoo.
He made his way to Quincy, actually, at first.
Oh, okay.
But then when he got there, he found out about the negotiations for the Saints to go to Commerce, and he approved them and went right to work to solidify that, and in his name, to buy up the properties that would be on both sides of the river.
Okay.
Yeah, up there.
All right. So jumping back to Phelps. Okay, so he was excommunicated in 1838 for a very short time. Following his testimony, he was excommunicated again.
In 1839. By a sword of hands.
And that was because of his testimony in court,
yes.
Essentially.
And he was lumped in with the apostates.
Okay. And then how long was he out of church the second
year
time?
Year and a half.
Oh, so it was a longer time this time. And then he writes to Joseph and wants back in, basically. Right?
He stayed in Far West for a while, but things were not going well. His wife and the daughters went to St. Louis for safety, and he missed her a great deal. So, and he tried to sell his property in Far West, but there were no buyers, and so he was penniless. They probably stayed in St. Louis a little while, but we don't have any information. The record kind of goes silent. But they made their way over to Dayton, Ohio, and it looks like that's where some of her relatives lived. And so they would live near them. And once again, he was in bad financial shape, and all of his family, including himself, became very sick. And he wrote to John Whitmer indicating how terrible things were for them. Well, it turns out that Orson Hyde, now reinstated, and John Page, a member of the 12, were on their way to the Atlantic Ocean in order to take off for the Holy Land to their mission there. John Page never made it. Orson Hyde, of course, went on that mission. Mm-hmm. But these two were there, and they were doing proselytizing work and gathering funds. And they were in Dayton, and they saw Phelps. And we don't know the whole story, but Orson Hyde was very sympathetic to Phelps's plight and suggested that he write to Joseph Smith, and maybe that would work out a reconciliation. And Orson Hyde wrote a letter endorsing that idea, and Phelps wrote his letter admitting his mistakes. He was very humble. He called himself a prodigal. I've made these mistakes. I will come back just to worship with you if you just please accept me back. And Joseph Smith wrote that wonderful letter back saying, we've considered this, and come on, dear brother, for friends at first or friends again at last, and we have agreed that you can come back into the church. We'll accept you back, please. And that's interesting because they didn't do that with some of the other apostates, so-called.
Mm-hmm.
Which has led a few of us to believe that Joseph Smith had come to realize that Phelps had been dealt with unfairly. He was not really an apostate. And then, therefore, he could come back easily. And Don Carlos Smith, who had become editor of the Times and Seasons, as soon as Phelps was rebaptized, he stayed in Ohio because he was penniless, but he moved up to Kirtland, and he wrote articles in to Don Carlos Smith, and Don Carlos said, we're so happy to have his pen back, and he says all these very fascinating things, and he wrote some good articles. And then eventually, when they did get to Nauvoo, Don Carlos put him to work in the Times and Seasons. But then Don Carlos died of pneumonia, and so that ended that relationship. But it looks like the Smiths were quite willing to take W.W. Phelps back.
Yeah. And so he ends up back in Nauvoo
in late 1841.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Bruce Van Orden. In our next conversation, Bruce is going to tell us about three articles of faith that he believes were written by W.W. Phelps.
But I believe that Articles 11, 12, and 13, which were not articulated by Pratt, were put in there in the language of Phelps.
Oh.
We claim the privilege of worshiping God according to the dictates of our own conscience and allow all men the same privilege to worship how, where, or what they may. I believe that was Phelps's way of saying it, because he did teach that. He said that type of thing earlier. The idea of being subject to kings, presidents, magistrates, and so forth, and 12th Article of Faith, I think that's in the language of Phelps.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe for just $5 a month at patreon.com/gospeltangents, and you can hear the entire interview before everybody else. If you'd like to watch the entire video for just $8 a month, you can either subscribe on YouTube, Patreon, or my website, gospeltangents.com. Just click the yellow subscribe button, and I'll add you to our Gospel Tangents Insiders group so that you can see entire videos. For those interested in a PDF transcript, you can subscribe at either Patreon or on my website. For just $10 a month, I'll send you a PDF as soon as it's complete. If you'd like a copy of the paperback as well as a PDF, just sign up for $20 a month at either Patreon or my website, gospeltangents.com. Of course, you can buy individual transcripts at amazon.com and just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview, and you can see all the things that we have there. Don't forget to support Gospel Tangents with an awesome t-shirt like one of these. You can subscribe at Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. Get our latest updates at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Also, you can get our Twitter updates at gospeltangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got more of our great videos. Thanks again.